Hello, today is October 1st, and it is officially the start of spooky season.
It feels very hot and miserable outside.
Yeah, it's like 96. It'll be 96 the day that this airs.
Although,
in Kentucky.
And this has no bearing on 99.9% of the people watching. We're scheduled for a full week of rain the week after this one.
I saw that.
That's actually good.
Although they've changed every rain forecast in the last 4 weeks to cancel them.
I want to take a moment to start the news with some good news. So I was at the grocery store yesterday, and they have a costume for a wacky inflatable tube man. And I'm not saying we should expense that to level one, but I'm saying we need a wacky inflatable tube man costume.
All right, come up with a video idea and we'll do it.
I'll just wear it on the news all month. Spooky news.
Well, getting back to form, for the first time in a couple of weeks, we can start the news with a Jeep pie.
Oh, and thank
it's
goodness.
Not the usual, like, get angry at a Jeep pie news. It is, but it's him being called out for it, which is nice.
Court says the FCC ignored hard data in rush to help media monopolies. Yeah, I mean, like, Captain Obvious, what have we been saying?
Scroll down, let's look at his face.
It is not even the least bit surprising.
Oh, he actually looks upset in that one. Usually he's smiling.
Well, he's getting called out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The mergers, net neutrality, it's obvious to everybody except 80% of the population because they don't care. But somebody's taking notice. Vice, which... I guess the enemy of my enemy, right?
It's the problem here is that Sinclair wants to own 72% of the market.
Where did Jeep Pie work before he became
Verizon? He's a Verizon telecommunications lawyer.
No, he was Sinclair.
Oh well, yeah, before that.
Yeah. So remember net neutrality? Jeep Pie didn't have a lot of good reasons to get rid of net neutrality. He kind of had one. And the one that he kept banging on was that net neutrality was standing in the way of broadband investment. If we could take the reins off these horses, just let them run, then they would build out the most amazing infrastructure that the world has ever seen. And so some people said, let's study that.
Motherboard has this amazing article that says, study proves the FCC's core justification for killing net neutrality was false. The biggest study yet finds Jeep Pie repeated claims that net neutrality was hurt broadband investment has never been true. Yes. A lot of people understand net neutrality to mean that, you know, a hospital can't pay for a dedicated link that's not on the internet or not subject to congestion that occurs along the link from A to B. But that's never been true since the 1970s, among other things.
So here we are. We do have to admit that the hyperbole from both sides was proven false.
Yeah.
The internet has not burned to the ground. They are slowly...
It's too lucrative to burn to the ground.
Still screwing us, but they were screwing us. I don't know if they're screwing us any harder than they were before.
Both sides are trying to find new and creative ways to screw us.
Perhaps fewer kisses on the neck. But one way or the other, it was wrong, it was pointless, and everything he said was lies.
Yeah.
He's a terrible human being.
Netflix realized that they could leverage this to prevent competition from entering the market. And then they were like, oh, we can play ball with this.
Another thing the FCC does is it gives away your money. It takes your tax dollars and it gives them out to these giant corporations, which it seems to serve almost exclusively. And sometimes it gets caught doing that in the face of all reason. And when that happens, it was like, oh, you lied to us. You're bad.
Sprint took FCC cash for serving 885,000 people it wasn't actually serving. Sprint admits the mistake and it promises it's going to pay the money back. But it could be punished by the FCC. Let's face it, it's not going to be punished by the FCC.
Well, it might and they're like probably not going to pay it
a
back.
A tiny fine. So this was, what did they get, like $850 a month or something?
It was $950, I think. This is the poor people internet subsidy thing. So poor people, just it costs too much to run infrastructure in rural areas, and so there's this broadband subsidy program. Taxpayers pay into that, and then the FCC can use those funds to help make sure that people that might otherwise not have good, you know, cell service or internet service or whatever can be a part of the subsidy. In this case, the Sprint customers were Lifeline customers. that were supposed to get the low cost and discount plan. And so I guess it seems like what happened was the customers were enrolled in these Sprint programs, and then they were no longer enrolled in the Sprint programs, or they didn't use their service for over a month. And Sprint just said, we're going to claim the rebate, even though people didn't actually use the service.
925 at 885,000 subscribers a month. So pretty big monthly bill there.
It's like $10 million.
They're going to claw that back, supposedly.
And there's probably more. Like this, like they said in the article, like there's probably more.
So you got to prove that people are actually using it from now on, I guess.
Which seems like that should have been something that was mentioned before they got the money.
Well, okay, to defend the FCC a little bit here, it was. And
Sprint just didn't care.
They just weren't doing it. Yeah. So whether they weren't doing it because they liked that free money or because they was just like, no, I'm not going to be bothered with that, who knows? Either way, it's a problem.
Oh, this article's terrible.
Elizabeth Warren is, I think she has pulled to the front of the pack with the whole Ukraine debacle dragging Biden down. So she is the front runner for our Democratic presidential candidate. And she has some ideas. Now, when it comes to technology, you got to give her a little bit of credit here. She kind of admits that she's old and out of touch. So her answer to that is more government.
Warren proposes investing in congressional tech expertise to diminish lobbying power. I was surprised to learn that there used to be an office for this that Newt Gingrich got rid of, and they had earmarked about $6 million to reestablish this office. But ultimately, the funding for that was cut at the last minute, I guess, by the Senate or something. But that office was supposed to advise senators on matters of things technological, because right now they just depend on lobbyists to tell them about the world through beer goggles. What could possibly go wrong?
So Warren says bring it back and fund it. And these people, you gotta wonder though, it probably wouldn't pay a lot, right?
Can we just have some senators that are halfway computer literate? Like,
well, not unless you shoot half of them.
Yeah,
they're 80 years old. And they're
you
never
would think that like they could just take like a basic tech literacy class, but
they're all so wealthy they can retire.
But they're not in it for them. Well,
yeah, at that
the
point
money,
they're probably not in
power.
It for money. Yeah,
yeah. Like I said, you have to shoot them, and then you have to institute an age limit. I'm not even sure if that's constitutional. So no. But, you know, maybe Warren is being a little bit hyperbolic. I mean, she seems to be intimating that these lobbyists and these companies are literally just writing the laws.
And foreshadowing.
I don't know if there's any evidence of that anywhere.
Jeff Bezos says that Amazon is writing its own facial recognition laws to pitch to lawmakers.
Oh.
The headline is actually surprisingly cheerful. The article just gets darker and darker to the point that it's so black you can't read it.
But I like the fact that he's just straight up announcing it.
Yeah.
He's like, here are the laws we're going to write.
it's going to lock them in.
He's just coming right out and saying it. It's like, yep, we're writing these laws. We're hoping, fingers crossed, and lobbyists paid, that we will present these laws, and the lawmakers will be like, yeah, that sounds good, let's do that.
And that really is probably what's going to happen.
Probably, yeah.
Everything from the Ring doorbells to like the Amazon delivery fleet and all of the Amazon applications and Echo. And I mean, surveillance is going to fall out of this for free, like universal, ubiquitous surveillance.
And he's going to get in front of any laws that might stop him from doing what he wants by carefully crafting them so that it's just enough to keep people satisfied, but not really stop the Amazon juggernaut.
It also means that no other companies will be able to compete in the market, because that's what happens historically. I mean, if you look at the cable TV industry, the laws were written so that it was basically impossible for other companies to do the cable TV thing. Like, the whole reason that cable TV exists goes back to that whole Arrow thing. Arrow's like, we're going to rebroadcast what you get over the wire over the internet. And cable companies were like, no, not so fast. We've passed laws to make that illegal. Same thing.
Speaking of laws in the new age of technology, what about your DNA, right? Your DNA is becoming something that gets searched. Imagine that. Imagine going back in time 100 years and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to search your DNA. And
they're like, what's DNA? Kill the witch.
So we need laws about that, right? Well, the Justice Department has come out with some laws that are definitely going to protect us and don't have a bunch of loopholes.
Justice Department has issued draft rules on using consumer genetic data in investigations. I tried to find a current draft of this, and I think I found an older draft, and you could drive a Mack truck through the genetic data investigations here. It does seem like there are, it seems like this is written for situations where, like, the DOJ has actually gotten leads on a cold case from this kind of thing, and there's no, like, way to get the evidence there that's completely clean because the companies don't really want to cooperate with it, and there's, like, the bad PR angle. And so this seems like it's designed to make all of that just kosher so that they can use that data that they already have about some of these cold investigations.
So the rules are stuff like you have to be notified if your DNA is going to be used, except in cases where that might risk the investigation. Name me a case where that wouldn't risk the investigation. Isn't every time you would tell somebody, they're related to the other person?
One of the other sites' commentary on that was that if you have like Ancestry.com or something, and there's a disclaimer in their user agreement, they're like, send us your DNA. I mean, I don't think Ancestry.com currently does that, but you can. But let's say that you send them your DNA, and there's a thing in the user service agreement that says they can share with that or sell it to law enforcement. This also makes that okay.
So they're not allowed to just go and fish through the records as a primary source of bringing you in. Unless it's a violent or a murder case, then that's out the window.
All so, I'm hearing is that we're one step closer to the world of Gattaca.
Yeah, basically. So you're going to be protected in cases where they probably wouldn't go to the trouble of using DNA in the first place.
Do you think it's going to be before 2021 that we have New York cops pulling chewing gum off of the sidewalk, sending it for DNA analysis, and then pulling from the database?
How much of a fine is that?
$500?
It'll be the day when the cost to do that is less than the fine. Huawei, haven't heard from them in a while. They seem to just be quietly languishing as Trump and the trade war roil on. I guess it's smart of them not to say anything, right? Just let it play out and see what happens. But here in the homeland, they've decided that Huawei equipment is bad and we've got to do something about it. What can we do about it? Let's spend taxpayer money.
Reuters has this article about U.S. lawmakers proposing a $1 billion fund to replace Huawei equipment. And I don't think $1 billion is going to scratch the surface.
Do you think $1 billion, having been given out to the telecommunications companies, which is what the plan is here, will ever go toward this?
No.
No. It won't. It's a free $1 billion for Jeet Pai's friends. We talked last week about the sneak and peek searches and how many companies got them. We knew about all the big tech companies, but it turns out they're firing them off like a machine gun. And some of the companies are actually standing up, which is weird because of their history with, you know, telemetry and all that.
Bloomberg has this article about Microsoft's chief of counsel, and it says that Microsoft is still rattled over U.S. sneak and peek searches. The company says it's challenging a secrecy order on data demand. An enterprise customer has been targeted in a warrant, but that enterprise customer is not identified. You better believe this is a big customer of Microsoft's, and Microsoft is probably doing this because whenever this is made public, it's probably going to hurt their relationship with that enterprise. But the Fortune 500 gets real skittish about this kind of thing. Everybody's just warming up to the Microsoft 365 cloud and all that stuff. This could cost Microsoft a lot of cloud business.
It's going to appeals court. I think it's smart of them to get a jump on this and be like, we're the first company to fight for your rights.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have much of a chance, though. It's worth whatever the court costs are for the PR.
I see that this is the first salvo in moving everything to be stored locally. So, like, if you have a company that's based in, you know, the Cayman Islands, Microsoft is going to move all the data to a data center in the Cayman Islands or something.
I doubt they have robust data protection laws in these Cayman Islands. They might, I guess, with all the offshore stuff. Uber. So, if something happens to you in an Uber that is criminal, or you think is criminal, Uber has, like, an internal Uber police. They're not actually police. They have no law enforcement credentials. They're just the Uber police. And you might feel good about the Uber police stepping in and asking you all these questions and stuff until you read this headline.
Uber stopped its own investigators from reporting crimes to the police. We're not law enforcement, in quotation marks.
See, also, colleges.
Yeah, this is a bad look for Uber. It turns out the drivers have a 3-strike policy. So I guess, you know, you could, like, abduct your ride 3 times, and on the 3rd time, they're like, we've got to terminate your, you know, drive share agreement. The
3rd time, you get a free sub. Yeah. So, yeah, they actually were not just not encouraged to report these crimes. They were told never to do so because it's PR, right? And they say, well, it's up to the rider to go to the police. But it also seemed like maybe they led them to believe that it was handled by these people when it wasn't. They also cited one rider or driver who had 2 sexual harassment complaints that went through this thing and then never went to the cops, then a rape.
Hey, so it really is like colleges.
He was escalating. So that's not good. But you should listen. If you think Uber's looking out for you or any of these companies we talk about, you're naive. You always look out for yourself.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens in Yellow Cab too. It's like, oh, I took the Yellow Cab to what? No, Yellow Cab doesn't care.
No one cares. Until you tweet about it, and then they'll pretend to care. Dunkin' Donuts had a big breach, and it was their...
like 5 years ago.
It was their reward system, their point-of-sale scan thing, and New York suddenly is mad about it.
New York sues Dunkin' Donuts over a hack affecting thousands of people because they need lots of money. New York has no motivation here except to just collect money.
Do you have a Dunkin' Donuts account, Wendell?
I do.
Oh.
I was part of this, but this was known like a long time ago. And they kind of sort of half-assed disclosed this, but they didn't do it properly according to New York. So I don't know what's to be accomplished here.
It also wasn't much of a hack. It was just them using dark web databases to try and
credential stuffing.
And I guess Dunkin' didn't have a very good, like lockout policy or anything. So they managed to get a bunch of them in.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do with that? What do you do with somebody's Dunkin' rewards?
You're like steal donuts, get gift cards, get
the gift card. Steal donuts. The worst crime. The police are taking that very seriously.
But I don't think, did they have payment attached to that? Do you have an account attached to it?
I did have to get a new credit card, but I don't know if they could read the credit card details. Maybe.
Is it really that much trouble to whip out your credit card when you buy donuts? Do you need that?
I like just having the barcode. Like, I just beep my way through.
You might have a problem.
There's part of me that didn't think that you would have an account there, but I'm not completely surprised that you do, considering we do stop for donuts pretty often in the office.
The rewards thing is, it used to be pretty good. It's nowhere near as good as it used to be, but, like, if you just got, like, coffee and a dozen donuts, like, once a month, about every other month you would get, like, a free half dozen donuts or free donut holes or something. So now anymore, they just don't care.
Here's a hypothetical situation that, see if this has ever happened to you. You're chilling out on the internet. You get an email.
Right.
The email says, hey, someone has matched with you on match.com. I'm not sure how that happens because supposedly you don't have an account at that. Oh, no. It's that if you don't pay, you can't see who's checking you out.
Oh, okay.
But you get an email, it's like, hey, somebody's checking you out. You should pay so that you can read the message. And you're like, oh, wow, human contact. And you pay ever how much it is, and you go and read the message, and it's a Russian phishing link. And then you say, hey, wait a minute, this wasn't even a real person. And Match.com says, gotcha. Well, if that has happened to you, you might be in for some money.
Match.com connected daters to fake accounts to boost subscriptions, the U.S. regulators say. The FTC says that more than 400,000 people subscribe because of these fraud messages. So I guess the accusation here is that Match.com turned a blind eye to people signing up with fraudulent accounts. And then when real people gave real money, they didn't give refunds.
They also mentioned that they got some kind of guarantee. If you don't actually get a date within a certain amount of time, a real human being,
6 months,
you get your money back. But then, I guess this disrupted that? I'm not sure how that works exactly.
Oh, yeah, because it was like, it was real, but not really.
So, they're saying class action, and
Seems like a lot of very lonely people. Like,
What are you gonna do?
I avoided the online dating thing, so I don't know. I'm still old enough that it kind of like skeeves me out, but it seems to be popular enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in such an online world.
Yeah.
I think it has less of a stigma now, but it is still kind of weird, I think, to...
It's weird around here, too, because...
There's nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one.
Yeah, and some of the trips that I've gone on, some of the people, like, you know, the tech trips, they're, like, using the application where it's like, who is in your area? And they're like, yep, all this looks good. And it's like,
You know who loves that? Syphilis.
The personification of
the Air Force. Remember we talked about the microwave gun, and they were trying it out, and they were like, hey, we think we could build a microwave gun, put a big generator out there and just shoot microwaves, take down drones. Well, turns out with the whole Saudi oil attack, they used a drone swarm to do that, and so it's going out sooner than expected.
U.S. Air Force is sending Phaser overseas, the first direct energy weapon fielded, and a huge milestone for the controversial weapon system. So, neat.
There it is.
It seems pretty effective.
They got a nice little...
Looks like a pizza stone.
Yeah, there's a GIF down here somewhere. There it is.
Bloop.
See you later, bro. Nice little explosion. I guess the lithium battery.
The battery's just like, oh, nope.
Look like it loop.
So, yeah.
That's now, amazing.
It only affects certain heights. It's not good for the big drones. It's only good for the little drones. But if you're doing a drone swarm, I imagine you're using the little ones. 1,200 to 3,500 feet and 100 and 200 knots.
So it'll get drones moving pretty quick.
Less than 55 pounds. How heavy is Rue?
Rue is 50 pounds.
Oh, this would take her out in a minute.
Just, yeah. Honestly, all I have to do is, like, bribe her with some food. And then you could, kill her pretty easily.
I think it's, like, this is going to be, if, like, a flock of seagulls happens to fly through, it's going to be bad. Because, like, microwave communication links, if a bird flies through, I mean, I've seen that before, and they'll just, like, fly through, and then they just sort of crash.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a frequency that causes heat.
I don't know what it was. It was just like, oh, they got too close to the communication tower. It was like, is that normal? And they're like, yeah, that's
all it does normal. Is disrupt. I'm probably going to give them cancer. I don't know if it'd take them right out of the sky.
I wonder if it confused their like navigation sensor, and they were just like, I don't know.
Like that scene in The Core.
Yeah,
it's that'd like be
terrible
cool.
Film.
It'd be cool if you could just shoot birds out of the sky with it.
They just explode into a ball of feathers.
Oh, I think there'd be some viscera there, too.
Google, they have this problem in the EU because the EU has a regulation that says you can be forgotten. Part of being forgotten means not searchable on Google. But there was an argument because does the EU have the power to say that you can be forgotten everywhere, right? I mean, if somebody does something in the EU and we talk about it over here, can the EU tell us not to talk about it? No. I would say no. I would say we should fight a war over that. But it was kind of up in the air. It's been decided.
Google has won the fight to restrict the right to be forgotten ruling to EU search engines. So I think that the actual ruling was talking about EU domains, but the interpretation is EU locations or EU search engines. So if there is like, you know, an article about somebody doing something bad on a .com website and it's not really part of the European Union, there's no right to be forgotten there.
Which kind of negates it.
Yeah.
Because if you're an employer or a Match.com person and you want to Google this person, you're definitely firing up the VPN to see what's been forgotten.
I think the article also says that there's a lot of nuance in the ruling in that member states have a lot of leeway in terms of like adding the ruling or adding local rules and doing some other sort of nuance on their own local version of the ruling. So this is probably not the last time that we will hear about the right to be forgotten.
I have this dream. It's a dream of living in an abandoned nuclear missile silo. It's so appealing to me because they have infrastructure for technology. They're well shielded from the elements. They're out in the middle of nowhere. But at the same time, utilities and telecommunication is run to them. It's the perfect storm, right? someone in Germany was living that dream in the wildest way imaginable.
Germany has shut down an illegal data center in a former NATO bunker. Now, I don't know if the data center was illegal, but this was a company that was offering...
Did you not read it? It is absolutely illegal. Yeah.
Well, it was a data center offering bulletproof hosting, and that apparently meant all kinds of like shady, gray market, black market stuff.
That was like a Silk Road type
situation.
So, yeah. So, they talked about... not only did they take these guys down online, they actually stormed the bunker.
Yeah.
The cops actually...
It was like seven people. It was an international thing. So it was like three or four people at the bunker and like some other people outside Germany. And it was a coordinated effort. Like they did a good job doing the takedown. I think they're going to get a lot of other connected criminal activity from this, I guess.
They mentioned the Wall Street. I remember we talked about Wall Street was one of them the FBI took down a couple years ago, I think. So, interesting. That's ballsy.
Yeah.
But also a great plan. And this guy just straight up bought the bunker. So, cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they had an emergency button, like, at the top of the bunker. Like, oh, we're being raided. And they hit a button and then it, like, erases everything.
Launch the nuke.
Drop all the servers into thermite. It's like, good luck. But that would probably be, you know, they'd at least get you for destruction of evidence, so.
They probably got, in Germany, they probably got laws that's just like, you thought about destroying evidence.
Thought crime.
TikTok is the hot new social media sensation out of China. And it seems to be super popular, but it's in China. Which means that you have to have some really special rules to not get in trouble with the powers that be. Unfortunately for them, it was leaked.
TikTok censors videos that do not please Beijing. How does it work? The Guardian has the scoop.
Yeah. I guess this was like a training document or something. But anyway, they leaked it. And it turns out you're not allowed to talk about Tiananmen Square.
It's not a surprise.
You're not allowed to talk about like Kashmir, Tibet.
Winnie the Pooh.
How do you pronounce the Muslim Chinese population?
Oh, Uyghur, yeah.
Something like that.
Man, things are getting real dicey for that group, too. I've read some very sad reports about things going on with them.
Criticism of monarchy, parliamentary system, separation of powers, socialism, demonization of local or other countries, Tiananmen Square, Islamic sex, Chechnya, can't talk about Chechnya, or Northern Ireland.
Or Taiwan, obviously.
And they talk about how they had a shadow ban version and a straight out just erase it from existence version. Now, TikTok responded and they said that was an old document.
Well, that's how we do business in China. I mean, wouldn't it be great to get the U.S. version of this document? I would love to see the U.S. version.
Yeah, I'm sure that exists.
That's the Facebook Supreme Court.
I mean, that's where we're headed, and no one sees it, and it's so crazy.
I think a lot of people see it. So, China...
Only the people that watch the Level 1 news.
They have the facial recognition, the social score, and all that. And really, the only thing holding them back is the technology, right? I mean, if you have all those people, how do you sort them properly? But luckily for them, they have a powerful new weapon.
China's new super camera can instantly pinpoint specific targets among tens of thousands of people. Now, this is facial recognition, but it's like 500 megapixels. And so, like, the facial recognition, it's all baked in hardware, AI. 10,000 faces from a 500 megapixel image in under a second.
I think Waldo will never be safe again.
I think the facial recognition's in the cloud. They did say the one drawback here was just the sheer bandwidth of moving this stuff around. Yeah. And they're not sure if they've worked that out yet. But I'm sure Huawei is working furiously to expand all the equipment to handle the extra load.
I'm just looking at the protesters in Hong Kong and what's happening there. And like, if the protesters have access to the software and the data, as long as it's not happening, like as long as it's not, you know, a control in the cloud, then the protesters will be able to use that to track law enforcement as well.
This really does look like something out of a dystopian movie.
It really does. And that's old. That's like really old footage.
So, terrifying. But it's where we're heading. We remember when we had like the big NSA thing, and of course like the terrorist attacks, and we learned, somewhat shockingly, I guess not really if you'd ever thought about it, that our alphabet agencies hate each other and will not share information. And it's kind of like, what? That doesn't seem to be in the interest of the citizens at all. It seems like maybe we're not unique in that aspect.
Another data point we can make friends with the Russians on. Russian state hackers rarely share code with one another. This article goes on to describe this intense competition structure where the different agencies compete for a fixed budget. So unlike here, where like our CIA can run black ops and like sell drugs to third-party countries to fund their operation, in Russia, they all compete for a fixed budget. So it's a lot more competitive.
I would say that happens here too, though. Like with the way contracts and stuff are awarded in the government space.
It's probably some of it, yeah.
Little column A, little column B.
The CIA seems to be kind of like just, you know, out on their own doing cowboy shit.
HSBC thing? Like, how did HSBC not get in trouble for that?
Anyway, nice to hear, I guess. They did say that the only time they found them sharing was when they formed some sort of, like, larger unit and had a single command running two different hacker teams under the same state branch, and then they would grudgingly share.
Hacker Team Fancy and Hacker Team Bear. Go.
Venezuela, they haven't been having a good decade. And they've had some problems. They've decided, remember, whatever happened with their state cryptocurrency? I guess that never took off at all, right?
The one that was backed by oil or oil futures?
It was supposed to be. I don't think anything ever happened with that. I know we're not allowed to trade it because they're like an enemy of the state. But what they do have is Bitcoin. And apparently they've got a lot of it. I guess they've been mining Bitcoin with all that oil. You know, that's one way to use it. And they're trying to figure out, what do you do with Bitcoin as a state? And that's a pretty good question.
Venezuela has a Bitcoin stash and doesn't know what to do with it, says Bloomberg. The central bank is going to try to decide if crypto can count as foreign reserves, but the government is hampered by sanctions that limit access to dollars. So I guess Venezuela is trying to monetize their crypto, but not in a way that will get them in trouble with foreign sanctions. Because, I mean, obviously they can just, you know, move that through the black market. But it seems like they're legit trying to comply with the sanctions, but also not lose the value that's in their crypto holdings.
No, they would have to buy U.S. debt.
Something.
No, I mean, the foreign reserve has to be...
Oh, it has to be U.S. dollars?
It doesn't have to be U.S. debt, but that's the way... I mean, it's a petrodollar. So they can't do that officially. And it has to be official because it has to be, you know, transparent. So they're saying, hey, we've got crypto. We should just be allowed to use that.
I don't think it works that way.
No, I don't think anybody's going to let them do that, no. Got to buy that U.S. debt. It's important.
How did it get that way again? Whose brilliant idea was that? That's crazy.
We won a war.
War three.
Kind of a big one. And so we created that. Bretton Woods 2. So what you want to read about there. So, also you should read about... So here's a buzzword for you. It's not related to the tech news, but rehypothecation. Our economy almost went down the toilet last week, but nobody noticed. On to robot and artificial intelligence now. We all know about the privacy policies and the agreements, end user license agreements. No one reads them, right? We're all guilty of not reading them because it's just unrealistic. But the robots have our backs.
This AI reads privacy policies so you don't have to, and it's actually pretty good. So you run this, and it gives you little grades on the privacy policy for your various apps. As you might imagine, most of the Facebook and Zuckerberg-owned apps, you've been Zuckerboned. They fail. That's bad.
They said, which one was it? Was it Snap, I think, that had? Oh, Telegram.
Yeah.
Telegram got an A+.
That's surprising. Because Signal is much better than Telegram, in my opinion.
So it grades them, and then it gives you bullet points. It's like, here's what we found that we don't like that you might want to think about here, which that's pretty cool. Now, it doesn't just, you can't just feed it a privacy policy or a EULA or whatever. This, they've only gone through a certain number of them, the big ones, and you can go and browse those, but it's not good enough yet where you can just use it on your own, unfortunately.
So it's really not necessarily an AI?
No, no, it's a neural network. It's just they kind of have to tweak it per instance.
I think she's onto something.
Yeah, it almost makes you think, wouldn't it just be quicker to have a human read through it? And
definitely would not be quicker to have a human read through it. No. But I get what you're... It's not good enough to be adaptive. That's the thing. Which, you know, AI is just not there. Sorry. Deepfakes keep popping up in the news, and they keep getting better, and then somebody finds out a way to detect them, and then they keep getting better, and blah, blah, blah. Google wants to arm us in that arms race. They want to arm the detector side of the equation. And to do so, they've put out a kind of a Know Your Enemy database.
Google releases a trove of deepfake videos so researchers can help fight them. Google's really put a lot of work into the data set, doing a lot of different techniques to try to hide some of the telltale signs of the deepfake and that kind of thing. But this data set is meant for researchers to use to analyze, to build tools to spot deepfakes, because the deepfakes are coming.
Oh, they're here.
Yeah. Wasn't there research? We did a story like last week. It was like 6 months from now, they'll probably be almost undetectable by most people.
Yeah, but it's an arms race thing.
Yeah.
It keeps going back and forth. So it's always going to be a good headline, though, right?
High quality content for Level 1 News.
Yeah. We can't argue with that. NASA keeps building cool robots. And the thing that strikes me most about a lot of the more functional robots that we have these days is they look nothing like we ever expected robots to look like. It turns out that humanoid robots just aren't that applicable in a lot of situations. But how about one that looks like a ball?
NASA aims to send shape-shifting robots to explore Saturn's moons. So it looks like a ball right now, but it can pop those panels out and like walk, or I don't...
It flies.
It's like a crab walk thing?
No, they're like little individual drones.
Well, it can pop a side open, though, and locomote.
I'm imagining it like that IKEA lamp.
It can also separate, see? Like, they just come apart and fly. But yeah, it did mention how they could... like structure themselves. And it can also float.
Yeah.
And
swiggity swiggity.
Float like a boat and sting like a bee. Isn't that like the thing? Never mind.
So that's cool. Yeah, that thing is gonna explore Titan. And because Titan has liquid, although it's methane. It's not water.
Yeah. What do we got tomorrow?
Tomorrow will be business and probably social media.
Social media?
I don't remember if it's social media or security. I think security was the bigger one, so that'll probably be Friday.
Woo! All right. See you in the next one.
Bye.